move the mic over here now in this role as preacher this morning.
Do you need help there?
Yeah, I can probably get it. Thank you, Mike.
You know, I may not need it anyhow. And what's happening?
Sorry.
Thank you, Susan.
Scrape that on the floor a little more.
This is evidence that I need all the help I can get. In this Advent season, we're going to be talking about the coming of the Messiah in the form of a baby from some different perspectives. And this morning, my assignment is to talk about the perspective of Mary and Joseph. So we're going to start out, if you'll turn your Bibles, to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And remember that the kids have some questions here. It's Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, I need to stop here and explain. This, by the way, is the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Luke 1 starts out with the angel coming to Zechariah as he's serving God as a priest in the temple and telling him that his wife Elizabeth is going to get pregnant. He didn't know what to do with it. He doubted it because Zechariah and Elizabeth were getting old and beyond the age of childbearing. But Elizabeth did get pregnant. And 6 months later now, we're picking up this story about Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Kids, that's your first question. The angel Gabriel was sent from, who's got it? The angel Gabriel was sent from God. Angels are God's messengers. They don't just flit around on their own, you know, as loose cannons or wild cards, but they serve God. So Gabriel was sent by God to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, in the house of David. The house of David, what does that mean? That means that Joseph was descended from King David. Mary also was. We get that genealogy also. But understand this, there were lots of descendants of David running around probably in those days because David had lived like 800 years earlier. And there hadn't been a descendant of David sitting on the throne for about 500 years. And so, you know, these were ordinary people. And we can see this as we go along that Mary saw herself as nothing special. Joseph was nothing special. They were just people. They were people who believed in the Word of God. But they were just ordinary people. But it's important that we know that these people actually could trace their lineage back to King David because God had given a promise to David, that prophetic word, that his kingdom would last forever. There is a promise of a Messiah to come who would sit on the throne of David and his kingdom would last forever. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." How would you feel if an angel came to you and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you"? In my imagination, just standing here, I think, cool. On the other hand, kids, if you want extra credit, draw a picture of Gabriel the angel. all we hear in the Bible is that angels had kind of a fearsome appearance. They were not these, you know, these little feminine, pretty creatures with wings. Gabriel was a warrior. He might have had wings, but he had a sword, and he was a powerful servant of the Lord. So Gabriel appears to Mary, and he says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying. It's like, what does he mean? And she tried to discern, you know, what sort of greeting is this? And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." So Gabriel is saying, this is the time that's been prophesied. You are going to bear a son who is the one who all those prophecies were about. How would you feel? Well, Mary had a question. How will this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, and I can imagine the fears that could have been involved in this. Not just fearing now the angel, or fearing what might come, but fearing what are other people going to think about me. Because the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child that be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible to God." And Mary said, behold, I missed one of your questions, kids. In Luke 1:30. The angel said, "Do not be afraid," right? That Mary was probably afraid. And Luke 1:38, Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What a response is this in the face of this prophecy that can mean a lot of things for Mary. A lot of fears I imagine swirling around in this young lady's mind. And her response is, "I am the servant of the Lord. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. So let it be to me according to your word. I am willing to do this." I see in this it's like a holy surrender, a humble, holy surrender to God. In picking up the narration in verse 39, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." I want to talk about Zechariah and Elizabeth for a minute. Zechariah was a priest who served in the temple. Elizabeth was his wife. And it's clear by words, if you want to look them up earlier in Luke 1, it's in, as we're going to see here with Elizabeth, Zechariah and Elizabeth were people of faith. They were people who had a hope in the promises of God. There are a few people like that around. I don't know how many. Israel at that time was in a fair amount of turmoil. There's a lot of political turmoil. I'll give you the thumbnail history of the intertestamental period here. there was not a king on the throne ever since the Jews were carried off to Babylon. When they returned, the 5th century, they did not establish their own kingdom. They rebuilt the temple, they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, but they were a part of the Persian Empire. And in the later part of the 4th century, a Greek general, the son of the king of Macedon, a guy named Alexander, set off on a campaign of conquest. He became Alexander the Great because he conquered so much of the Eastern world. Starting in Greece, he conquered Asia Minor. He moved into Asia. He conquered Egypt. He went across the Persian Empire all the way to India and established this big empire. And then on the way back to Greece, he died. And so this empire was split up among his three generals. They kind of all took their piece of the pie. And one of them took control of the area of Palestine, of Israel, ruled from Syria, from the city of Antioch. There were a number of kings known as Antiochus or Antiochus at that time. And in the about the middle of the 2nd century, one of the Antiochuses decided he was a god. And so he went down to the temple in Jerusalem and he set up an idol of himself. And he said, "You've got to worship me here." Well, that incensed the Jewish people because that was a holy place of God. And so the Jews rebelled. And if you're interested in reading a part of the Bible that's in the Catholic Bible but not ours, it's a part of the Apocrypha because it doesn't really talk about Jesus. But it's the book of Maccabees, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, tells about the rebellion led by the Maccabees. And they actually won their rebellion and reestablished the kingdom of Israel that lasted for about 100 years. So now we're getting to the middle of the 1st century B.C. And the descendants of the Maccabees, they were known as the Hasmoneans, that was the family name. The two brothers had a squabble over who should be king. Now, the 500-pound gorilla in this story is the Roman Empire, which was just being established at that time and was moving to the east. And, you know, a lot of people liked the Roman Empire because they brought peace, even if it was a peace that was dominated by the empire. They brought good trade to the people, and so some level of prosperity if you didn't mind not having any independence. But because of this squabble in the Hasmonean family, the Romans said, you can't be doing this. There were actually two parties. One of them was supported by the Sadducees. One of them was supported by the Pharisees. You've heard this before. The Sadducees were kind of the Democrats of their day, and the Pharisees were kind of the Republicans of their day, the liberals and the conservatives, and they were squabbling with each other. And so the Sadducee heir called on the Romans to come and help. And the Romans came, and they decided that the Pharisee heir should be the guy in charge. So they kept the kingdom at that time, but it was pretty clear that they were serving Rome. And it was about some years later, 20 years later, when a couple of the Hasmoneans got in another fight over who should be in charge, and Rome said, "That's enough." And so they appointed a guy named Herod to be the king of Israel. Here's the deal. The Jews were used to having an independent kingdom. Suddenly they've got a guy appointed by Rome to be their king, and he's not even a Jew. He's actually an Edomian, Edom. And so there were a lot of people that were unhappy. So there are political squabbles going on in Israel. So civil war, squabbles, then Rome had a civil war. Herod backed the wrong party, but then he went and made peace with the party that won. So this is going on in Israel. there are a lot of people that were concerned about Israel's future, that were looking for a Messiah that would maybe take military control and reestablish the kingdom. But there were faithful people also who understood that the Messiah would be something else. And you see that if you look in Luke 1, in the words to Zechariah, and later in chapter 2, the words that Zechariah spoke after John was born and he could talk again. You see it in Luke 2 when Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus to the temple to be circumcised, to be presented at the temple. And Simeon had been waiting. It talks about in Simeon and then Anna, two older people who were looking, the Bible says, for the consolation of Israel. In other words, they were looking. Consolation can also be translated redemption. They were looking for the redemption of Israel. And so you've got a group of people who understood. They knew. They believed. And you can put Mary and Joseph clearly in that group of people. They had hope for something more than what they were living in. They had hope for something more than some kind of political squabble between two parties who weren't getting along. Do you have hope today? Do you have hope? Do you have hope by your faith? This week for Advent is it's the candle of hope. It's also called the candle of the prophets. We've been given promises from God. This is our hope and this is our faith. Mary and Joseph had that faith. So, back to our story. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." There you have it. Blessed is she who believed. Blessed is she who believed. It wasn't an easy thing for Mary, but blessed is she who believed. Blessed is she who believed. Blessed are you who believe. That had to be good news for Mary. I can imagine what was going through her mind. After Gabriel appeared to her and told her, "Mary, you're going to get pregnant," doesn't have a husband, She rushes off to Elizabeth, kind of hard to stay around home. What are mom and dad going to say? What's Joseph going to say? And so she went off to someone who was probably maybe an aunt, cousin, or an aunt, someone that obviously they knew each other, they had good relationships. Zechariah was a priest. Who better to go for counsel than a trusted relative? And she shows up, and Elizabeth prophesies to her, confirming everything that Gabriel had spoken to her, settling something in her heart. And you can see Mary's response in the next verses. Mary's song of praise, called the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Now I want to make some connections in this poem. The key line here, in verse 50, "His mercy is for those who fear him." Mary understood this. She was one who feared the Lord. She believed the Lord. And she spoke this word of truth, this prophetic word coming out of her mouth when she has this move of God within her confirmed by Elizabeth. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And the rest goes with that. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. So his mercy is not with the strong. It's with those who fear him. He's not with the proud. It's for those who fear him. And so he scatters the proud because his mercy is not for the proud. His mercy is for those who fear him. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. His mercy isn't for the mighty on their thrones. His mercy is for those who fear him. His mercy is for, and you can be as humble as you want to be, or as humble as you don't want to be. If you fear the Lord, his mercy is for you. That's your hope. That was Mary's hope. Blessed is she who believed. That's what it says, what Elizabeth said to Mary. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Again, his mercy is not for the rich. His mercy is not connected to what power you have. It's not connected to what wealth you have. It's not connected to what political influence you have. His mercy is connected to your relationship with God. It's for those who fear him. His mercy comes with hope and with faith. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. So now it's demonstrating. He's helped Israel. He's remembering his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to his offering forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. We've got to go to Matthew to get Joseph's response here. Luke talks a lot about Mary. Matthew doesn't talk that much about Mary. Matthew talks about Joseph. Not a lot, but there's a little bit there in Matthew chapter 1. Because get this picture. Mary went to visit relatives. She's betrothed to Joseph. In those days, betrothal was official and legal, so it was like they were married but not yet fully married. She's gone for 3 months, and she comes back pregnant. Guys, what are you going to think? What are you going to think? What's going on with that? Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if she proclaimed it. She was found to be with child. When you're with child, you know, people find out about it typically. She was found to be with child. Well, she said it was the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth and Zechariah believed her. But what was Joseph to do? It says he was a just man and unwilling to put her to shame. So he resolved to divorce her quietly. We're just going to break up quietly. I'm not going to put you to shame publicly over this. Verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Boy, that was a busy angel in this season. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Here we see another example of a holy surrender to God. And clearly a man who believed that God was in this, who had spoken this. And he would have been familiar with the scriptures as a God-fearing man. So he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Well, we're going to wrap this up by going to Luke 2. These ordinary, humble people have to take a journey. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And so it happened. As the prophets had spoken of old, it happened as the angel spoke to Mary and to Joseph and to Elizabeth. It happened as God had planned from the beginning of the world. It was time for the Messiah to come. So that the hope of Israel, the hope of the prophets, the hope of the people of God who are waiting for the consolation of Israel was being fulfilled. That hope is fulfilled in us. And how are we going to respond? Blessed is she who believed. Blessed are you who believe. There are times when God makes his will known. And we, like Mary and Joseph, are called on simply to say, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you've said it." There are times for holy surrender in the hope that God has something marvelous in store for you. Amen?